You're listening to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's the best kind of gossip on demand every week. Girl talk, no filter. Here's your sis, Alessandra G.
Welcome back to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. Today we have a brand new Feature Friday, and you're in luck because on today's segment, I have one of the coolest artists out there. Yeah, you probably know her. It's Dagny. She's amazing, and if you have yet to check out her music, you are 100% missing out. Let's be real here. Super excited for this segment, you guys, and for all of you to hear and learn more about Dagny and her music. Let's get into this brand new segment of Friday Features. Hey, Dagny, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good here, you know, trying to get through this coronavirus mess, as I always like to say. I know things are a little bit calmer by you, but how have you been dealing with, you know, the quarantine life and just the pandemic in general?
Actually, you know what? It's been, as you said, like Norway is very chilled at the moment. It's kind of gone back to normal, which I obviously know is not the case everywhere. So I'm kind of thankful that like things are getting back to normal, even though like, you know, as a musician, like we can't be doing any touring, which is very weird to have a summer without touring. But other than that, it's been good. It's like, I've been in the studio a lot, and the first few weeks after the corona happened and I had to be in like a quarantine, and I kind of managed to like find myself some new hobbies and just trying to like chill down and not like stress too much about it. So it's been a very odd year, but despite everything that's been happening and all the bad shit that's come from it, it's kind of been all right. Yeah,
that's good to hear. I know it's really annoying for everyone, music fans and artists, without the touring. It's a lot different and it's kind of sad, to be honest. But hopefully, you know, when everything gets fixed, it'll just be like a touring rampage of everyone being on tour and, you know, really taking advantage of it being back to normal.
Yeah, I remember like during the quarantine, like there was a lot of streaming gigs on. And I remember someone wrote in the newspaper that, oh yeah, these streaming gigs are amazing. Like I really hope that, you know, maybe this is the future. Maybe this is how concerts are going to be like moving forward. And I just remember thinking to myself, God, I hope not. Because I mean, like, even though I really appreciated the streaming gigs and everything that was happening in the first few weeks, I feel like nothing can really replace like a really good concert experience when you're in the audience and you know people are cheerful and you're like having a beer with your mate and enjoying the music and being on stage and all those things. Like that can't really be replaced online, I don't think. So I'm excited to tour again. Like touring is my favorite thing, so I really hope that we can start touring from at least like start of next year, hopefully.
Yes, I totally agree. I am not here for the streaming concerts on my phone in the darkness of my room. Like, I'm against that. I want to be, like, with my friends, having a good time, you know, other concert goers near me. So I'm totally with you on that. But speaking of touring, I actually saw you perform in 2017. You were on the road with Lainey. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, it was great. I had never, you know, heard of your music before. And I, you know, came to the show and I usually, like, I'm really bad with this, but usually if I don't know the opening act, I tend to get there late. But my friend was like, you know, let's go early, whatever. So we went and I was so glad that I did because I loved your music. And to be honest, ever since the concert ended and I think about shows I've been to in the past, and I've been to like over 150, so there's a lot, but if I think about like that show in particular, I specifically remember your set more than the headliner, which never happens. It never happens. Wow. But I, you know, as soon as I got back from the show, I was downloading everything. I was like, I got to follow her on Spotify. I got to keep up to date with this. Like, and ever since, I've been like totally on board with the Dagny wave and following everything. So, yeah, it's been crazy, but I was so glad to see you perform.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's so nice to hear that. I mean, like that tour was really special tour. Like I think we did something like 37 shows in 52 days or something. And it was in all these new cities around the US where I'd never been to before. And obviously with like the Lainey fans, they're so committed. So they were, you know, the room was packed like probably an hour before we even entered the stage. And the audience were like, they were so appreciative and so welcoming to us as well as an opening act. So I remember that tour very vividly. And it's nice to know that like you as a listener also remember it, that we made some, I don't know, some kind of impression, I guess.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was amazing. And I just remember like the conversation and banter going on like around me. It was like, oh my God, like this is really good. And everyone was just kind of like, all right, like this is a great opening act. Because a lot of times, you know, some shows, the opening act doesn't really match the vibe of the headliner. And then that can get kind of weird because you have people saying like, oh, this is good, but like, it's not something I'm going to listen to. And for that instance, it was a perfect match. Like you said, like all the fans are super dedicated. They were loving it. And obviously you guys were having a good time. So it's definitely something I remember. And I couldn't have matched up a better pairing for a tour.
Thank you. Yeah, I think like as an act, I always try and remember that because obviously like the way that I kind of build my like my musical journey kind of started out just gigging a lot and like long before anyone kind of had heard our music and everything. And I feel like, you know, I've been the support act so many times. So now that, you know, and I know how important it is to get to be picked as like in a support act and how many doors it can open and just what a great time it is, like getting to play music live even before you actually have your own audiences. I think like I always try and think about that when I go on tour in Norway and we do all these like big headline shows, then I always try and think like, you know what, I want to pick a support act that someone that I'm really into and someone that I really just want everyone to experience as well. So I really try and like make an effort with that instead of just like, you know, not caring about that at all, if you know what I mean.
No, completely. I do know what you mean. Because sometimes you go to a show and it's like, where the hell did they get this guy? Like, it just seems like they're picking random people. And it's kind of obvious because it's like, yeah, the guy's good, whatever. But did you really think about your audience and like how this musician fits into the mix? You know, speaking of the music and everything you got going on, I know you just released the first half of your debut album, Strangers Lovers. And honestly, I'm obsessed with the first half. I can't wait for the second half. What made you decide to make it two separate parts? I really love that idea, and it's not something that you see a lot.
No, it was actually like I had to go some rounds on that because I was like terrified that now that I was finally releasing a debut album that people were going to think of it as two EPs instead of like an album. So I was like a bit unsure whether it was the right thing to do, but I guess like the idea started out last summer because I decided to make an album around April 2019 and I was listening to like all these hundreds of songs that I've written and I picked my kind of top 20 favorites. We were touring around Norway like doing festivals or we're just doing festivals in general that summer, and on one flight I played the songs to my guitarist. And he was like, yeah, I really love this. I love this. But, and there's like a very, you know, cohesive kind of story. There's like a storyline throughout it, but it feels like two different sides to the story. And I was like, hmm. And the more I was thinking about it and the more I kind of listened to the songs, I felt the same. Like if I was just going to throw all of the 12 songs into like one bowl and just serve it like that, it wouldn't really make sense in the same way. It would just feel like too many kind of different sides of the story happening at the same time. So it was starting in my head already then to kind of feel like a two-part album. Like for me, coming from Northern Norway, I think that, you know, seasons and music is something that I always feel like, you know, when I hear a song, I can say, oh yeah, it feels like a spring song, or it feels like an autumn song, or it feels like a summer song or a winter song. And there was a very like clear divide. Like you had this first half of the album that felt like, you know, it was before the relationship started and during the relationship. That was kind of the overall story. And it felt like something that you wanted to like listen to before heading into the summer. And it felt very light and happy and joyful and anthemic. And then you had this other side that felt more like, you know, obviously after the relationship has ended, which is kind of what the second half is about. It felt more like long autumn nights and more darker and a bit more like understated and maybe a bit more emotional. So it kind of like the more I was working with the whole project, it just the more it felt like, you know, this has to be like a two-part thing. And like after a while I was really happy that we did that because it made it a lot of fun to work with it as well in terms of visuals, because you know I could imagine how, you know, how the videos for the first half or the images for the first half was going to be, and how I could like make them different for the second half, so that you enhance like the difference between the two parts.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And hearing you chat about it, it's funny because, you know, Taylor Swift released her new album recently, Folklore. Yeah. And when I'm listening to it, I think straight away, this is an October album. Like,
yeah, no, exactly. Like, I totally get what you mean.
Yeah, like you listen to it and I'm thinking, okay, this is an October album. Like, it's great she released it in the summer, but going through the whole thing, I'm like, I'm gonna love this in October. And it's so weird to think that way. But I'm like, I already love it now. So I can only imagine listening to this and it matching up with the season. And it's so weird to explain, but like, I'm a musician as well. So thinking about, you know, when to release a song, or, you know, when an artist is going to release a song, or, you know, what matches up with what, it's just kind of how I think a lot of like people in music operate. And yeah, that's exactly what I thought of, especially with the first half of your debut album. I was like, this is perfect. Like, summer jams. You have like Coulda, Woulda, Shoulda. You have Come Over. Like, those are the songs you want to be blasting with your friends in the car, going down to the beach, or, you know, dancing around your house because you're in a quarantine pandemic. Like, that's what you want. One standout definitely from that first installment of the album for me is Coulda, Woulda, Shoulda, because I just love the lyrics so much. I think it's genius. It kind of reminds me of, you know, when you're talking to yourself or something and it's like, you're sitting there and it's like, oh, there's always something to fix, isn't there? Like, you're like talking to yourself. And it reminds me of like a weird conversation that I would have with myself, and just kind of like saying, yeah, like, let the past be the past. What am I thinking about? Like, I got to forget about the what ifs. Like, let's just, you know, get a move on and get to the next stage of life. Was that kind of the inspiration behind that one?
Yeah. And I think like there's two ways that I've always like, you know, thought about how I could make music. And it's one, you could either try and explain like what is happening within yourself, like at the moment. And like, if you're sad, you make a sad song. Or if you're happy, you make a happy song. Or if you're in love, you make an in love song, and so on. But actually there's also the other way, where you write a song that's more about like how you want to feel, or how you hope to feel like. And maybe you write a song that you can like put on when you need like a pick me up, or you need to like be reminded in a way. Actually, it was funny with Coulda, Woulda, Shoulda, because it was the last song that I wrote for the album. I only wrote it like in December, I think it was, December of last year. And we were already kind of started with the album. And so it was one of the last songs that came in. And actually the first like inspiration was, I don't know if you were a Sex and the City fan, but I'm a massive Sex and the City fan. There's this character in Sex and the City called Samantha. And she just keeps saying like, oh, coulda, woulda, shoulda, like when her friends are being completely like overthinking stuff and, you know, stressing about stuff and thinking about the past and worrying about the past and all these things. And she just goes, oh, coulda, woulda, shoulda. And I kind of felt like, you know, sometimes I need like that little reminder. It's like you can so easily kind of worry about the future, or if you're heading into a relationship, you can be like, oh, but where is this actually going? And are we really right for each other and all these things? Or you can like look to your past and be like, oh, why didn't I do that and stuff? So it's so like the way that I see Coulda, Woulda, Shoulda is either like one of those, well, I'm just gonna jump into situations so I don't have a Coulda, Woulda, Shoulda situation, or I'm just gonna like, you know, not think coulda, woulda, shoulda anymore, because like you're in the present and there's nothing really you can do about the past. It was a good song to write. It really felt like I could just let go of some things that I was like worrying about or being too hung up on, and just move a little on after I wrote that song.
Yeah, exactly. No, I totally get that. And I think that as a listener, that's kind of what we think about as well. Like, we're listening to the song and in the back of our head, we're worrying about something we can't even fix. So it's like, yeah, there's always going to be something that we wanted to do or whatever. It's like, kind of like, you know what? Yeah. Screw it. Like, let's move on. And so it's a great track for just kind of like getting through something or talking to yourself and kind of just getting rid of any like guilt or what if situation of, oh, like, should I have done this? It's like, okay, well, you can't do it now. So moving on. So I love that one.
Yeah, no, I totally. And I'm so happy. Like, you know, when you write a song, I always try not to like say too much about the songs. I want people to make their own associations and stuff. But and sometimes, you know, when I release a song, I get so many different ways that people have interpreted the song. But I'm happy to hear like what you're saying, because it feels like that's exactly what I was trying with that song, and that kind of emotion and that feeling, and just that, like, you know what, I'm just gonna head first. I'm not gonna worry about the past or the present. And it's nice to hear that that's kind of how you as a listener also, you know, see the song.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely how I saw it from the beginning. And I definitely play it in situations where I'm like, dude, stop worrying about this. Like, it's all done. That's it. Another track that is definitely a standout for me from the first half of the album, it has to be Come Over, because like when I tell you, I would walk around the city all the time listening to that song, and it was just like a total mood boost. Like, it reminds you of a time where like you were in a similar situation, or like you're getting to know someone before you start a relationship. And I just like love the energy on it. And it's funny because I have these songs that I call walking songs.
Oh,
where,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, and my friends make fun of me all the time, because I'm like, dude, I have a totally new walking song. And it's like you put it on and like you're picking up the pace and you're going, and you just want to keep repeating it until you get to where you're trying to go, or even if you're just walking around aimlessly.
Absolutely. That's so cool that you have that. I have the same.
That's crazy. Yeah, my friends are always like, what do you mean a walking song? And then I'll play it and they're like, oh God, I can imagine you walking around to this just on repeat. But it's so funny because I would play it all the time, and I was super happy to see it on the first half of the album. But, you know, I know there are some slower tracks also on the first half, not too many, but just a couple. Is it hard for you to go from, you know, your typical energy and fun, vibing, fast-paced tracks to now slow down and getting a little bit more vulnerable?
I think that's a very good question, because I guess I'm kind of known for like doing more kind of pick me up songs and happy songs and full of energy, and obviously if you've seen one of our live shows, then you know that like we normally have like a lot of energy on stage, and I really like that. It's like a nice release. But I think, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to do with an album, like one of the reasons why I wanted to do an album, was to be able to show different sides and to be able to do different kind of moods and different kind of songs. And you know, some of those songs are not necessarily like, you know, the typical single or whatever. So if you were just releasing singles, you might never have been able to show those songs, but they hit kind of differently. And I like that. At the same time, you're right. It was a little scary, because I mean, for me, like, I think like naturally I'm drawn to doing very upbeat songs, and I kind of want, like, I want to write a song that makes me want to kind of put my hands in the air and stuff, and while I like jump around, or like a walking song as well, as you say, like I just want to walk around town with the music on my ears and kind of feel like I'm totally like invincible or whatever. But also actually ballads or like slower songs, I feel like they're definitely harder to write than the upbeat songs. So I think I'd have to write a lot of them to like find that one that kind of just felt right. But it was funny, because when I released the album, I was a bit worried that, you know, my listeners weren't really gonna enjoy those slower things. I posted a picture on my Instagram and I was like, hey, so what's your favorite song on the album? And actually, surprisingly many, you know, said Tension, which is probably the slowest of them all, and Paris. So it just shows that you can push yourself a little bit outside of the comfort zone, and you can try new things. And clearly my fans are like open for it. So I was kind of inspired by that. It was fun to try something else.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally completely understand what you're saying, because, you know, listening to the album the first listen through, I was kind of expecting like, you know, whatever it was, 5-6 bop straight power through. But I was so glad that there was a mix in of like some slower songs, because I mean the variety was great, and also there's going to be times where you don't want to listen to very upbeat songs, and you really like the artist, but you don't want to just keep listening to upbeat songs. So it's great to now have those slower songs, and like it fits anything. You want to put it on in the car, you want to do this. Like, I think a lot of people think to listen to slowed down music, you have to be like in a sad mood or a bad mood, or you have to be upset. But it's like, no, I like listening to an album where I get the mix. So it was great to see that.
And I think like everything in like life is balance. So actually, you know, if I was releasing an album with just 12 upbeat, like full-on songs, then maybe they wouldn't have the same impact because it would just be so on all the time. And that's something that I've had to like teach my, like try to remember as well when we play live, because play live at the beginning, we were doing like, you know, 25 to 30 minutes and it would only be like, you know, boom, 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 one after the other, like upbeat, super energetic songs. And then when we started doing like an hour and a half, I suddenly realized that, you know what, if I'm going to do an hour and a half with just songs that are full on all the way, then people are going to be exhausted by the end of it. And so actually live as well, it's really nice to sometimes just take it down, get a bit more like personal, dare to like be, as you say, like be vulnerable and dare to kind of show that other side as well.
Yeah, it definitely makes a lot of sense. And that's another thing too, because I always think about the show when I listen to an album. So yeah, listening through the album, and you kind of, as a listener, picture the show in your head and how the concert would go, and you know, what songs would she end with? What songs would she start with? And if you did, like you said, 12 songs of upbeat music, one, we would be exhausted, too. You would be exhausted. Yeah. And it's just like not realistic, because like as human beings, we have like all those sides to us where it's sometimes we want to be more chill, like you said, and other times we're happy and we want to have a song that we're going to walk like a mad person to in the city. But it was good to get like a little taste of everything on Strangers Lovers. So I'm excited to see the second part. Now for the second part, I know it's going to be, like you said, kind of the ending of a relationship. Can fans expect to hear more upbeat tracks, even though it's kind of on the more like sad and, like you said, vulnerable side? Or is it going to be more slowed down?
Yeah, no, I think another good question, that is. I think a lot of people are imagining that the second half is just going to be like super dark and super like ballady and emotional like that. But actually, I think the biggest difference between the first half and the second half is just the lyrics. Like, it's from a different perspective. Lyrically, it's quite different. But it's still me and it still feels like that. And you can obviously, you can write a happy song that sounds sad, and you can write a sad song that sounds happy, just based on the lyrics. So there will definitely be like a good variation on the second half too. It's not as like anthemic. It's maybe a bit more, as I mentioned earlier, a bit more understated, like a bit more minimalistic in some ways, you know, as the side A as well. It's variated, and it's both taking it up and melancholic than the first half. It's still like...
It's still you.
Yeah, it does. Because up until now, I feel like I've released a lot of music that, you know, a lot of the songs sounds different. And that's something that I really enjoy, because for me, it's all about the song and what makes the song the best it can be. And it also keeps it interesting that I'm not just trying to write the same song again and again and again. But for me, at the same time, I would say that, you know, I want this album to feel like an album and to go completely in a different direction already on side B would feel a bit strange. So I'd rather save whatever I'm going to do next, if it's going to be like a heavy metal album or a super electronic album or a super folky album. I think I'll save that for the next album, and then side B won't be like too alien, I guess.
Gotcha. It's not going to be like a shock, like, oh God, what is this? So that's good to hear, because like you said, I love your production specifically, because I think that it's so like, you could tell it's not the copy and paste, you know, cut, copy, paste. Yeah, here's the chorus. Okay, here's the chorus again. It's like, you can hear every single time through, like, oh, I didn't hear that, like that pickup there. Or, oh, did you hear that drum sound? I never noticed that. Like, and so that's what I love so much about it, because I'm really sick of these like pop, you know, songs that are just like, okay, same exact bass line the whole time. And
no, that's nice that you say that, because like when I made the first half, I remember thinking, oh my God, is it too over the top? Is it overproduced? Have I like put too many elements in the production? And you know, my kind of childhood dream was to make like an anthemic like album, just like super pop and super upbeat. And it's kind of like not really what's happening in the music, you know, kind of contemporary like pop or whatever at the moment. So I was a bit worried whether people are going to get it or like it. So it's nice to hear that you noticed that, because I think like a song should be like a journey. It should be like some kind of development throughout. And if the songs would just be like the same instrumental all the way through, then I think I just get bored. You know what I mean?
No, I love your production. Do not change that, for the love of God. because, yeah, like you said, all of like the big charting songs or whatever, I just get very bored. And I like kind of finding new things, even the 50th listen, like, oh, I never noticed that or whatever. And you know, you could tell how long someone puts in, like how much time someone puts in to create this music. Whereas like someone else is like, okay, yeah, this is a really good like chorus and I'm just kind of modify it a little bit here and there and there's my track. And I really appreciate when people like dive deeper and kind of like want to make sure that there are different elements and it's all kind of like intertwined in a way that it's intricate, but it's not over the top and it doesn't sound like a hot mess. But you definitely do not have that problem.
No, I guess like when you're making an album, which is something that I've learned like throughout this whole period, because I've obviously never made an album before, is that it's constantly like just decision making. And it's constantly like weighing up like all the different, you know, things like, is it too much? Is it too little? Is it done? Is it not done? Is it good enough here? Is it good enough there? Like there's all these little things like, should it be this sound or this sound? Should the fill sound like that? Or should it sound like that? And you're constantly making like tiny decisions like that, which I'm like a horrible decision maker, like really, like all my friends would say, oh, Dagny, yeah, she always have to like constantly like see all the different 50 sides to it before she can make up her mind. And you know, so this was a good exercise for me as well, like actually having to make decisions and like stand for it. You know, I just had to do it based on only myself and obviously like some of the producers that I collaborated with as well. But you know, it's kind of scary when we released Come Over, which actually was a song that I really had to fight for, because you know, I just remember having so many butterflies and just being so like scared about releasing it, because it felt like I put so much more time and work and personality and decisions into this album more than I think I've ever done before. So yeah, you kind of have to learn to trust yourself, I guess.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm so glad that you pushed for Come Over, because I needed a new walking song. And then bam, there it was. And I was like, yes. So I'm like, get my AirPods on. I'm hitting the city. I'm getting on the streets, like new song. So yeah, it's such a standout. That's so crazy to think that you had to push for that. But you know, a lot of people see things differently. People have different visions. And yeah, it's just good that you did really push for that, because it's one of my favorite from the first half for sure.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. Thank you.
Of course. And one thing I do want to also touch on briefly is I learned this recently, and you know, now listening to both tracks, I'm like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. So Katy Perry had a little listen to Love You Like That and then decides, wow, this is a great song like the rest of us were thinking. And she releases Never Really Over. What the hell happened there? What can you tell us about that?
What can I say about that? I thought it was a great thing that happened. Like it was completely out of the blue. Like they just kind of, her management contacted us like one January day, I think it was, and we're like, yeah, so we've kind of made like our we've kind of done our own interpretation of like Love You Like That, like Katy Perry's releasing a song and it's kind of, you know, inspired by Love You Like That. And I was just like, what? Like I couldn't believe it at the start, and I didn't really believe it until like I could actually like listen to it on my streaming services, because it's just one of those things that like just doesn't really happen. But I was really happy that it did, because obviously like you make music to inspire, and I mean, I grew up just around the time that she released like I Kissed a Girl and she blew up and became massive, so she's obviously inspired me in many ways. So it was nice to see that, you know, it could go both ways. And, you know, I'm just kind of happy that, you know, Love You Like That as well got like almost like a second life, I guess, because we obviously released it in 2017 and we'd already been touring it and gigging with it and all that stuff. And so it wasn't like a new song or a single for me anymore. And then, you know, it got to be part of a new journey and it was really exciting. I'm just happy that they reached out, because I think like being inspired by other people's music is totally fine. But like there's always like this fine line, obviously, between getting inspired and then just maybe being a bit too inspired. So I was happy that they reached out and kind of let us take part in it. Because if I'd heard it on the radio, I would have probably like thought, oh yeah, that sounds a bit like Love You Like That. But I don't think I would have never like taken that any further. You know what I mean?
No, I completely understand. And the funny thing is, when I heard the track, you know, I was a bigger Katy Perry fan, like you said, growing up, but she kind of took a break, came back. And so when I heard the track, I kind of did think like, hey, I feel like I've heard this before. I didn't place it exactly with Love You Like That. But yeah. Now listening back, I'm like, okay, makes a lot of sense. There are times when I do hear a song and right off the top of my head, I'm thinking of a smaller artist and I'm like, dude, I've heard this before in a different way, but slightly different way. And you're right. It is a fine line and people have to be careful with that. So it's great that she did, you know, reach out. And I think that's the honest and the easiest way to go about things these days, especially with everyone trying to file lawsuits for the smallest things.
Yeah, for someone to be able to, because obviously like nowadays, like a lot of pop music is written on the same, like a lot of the similar chords. And there's a lot of kind of, if you've been a writer and you've done the whole like writing thing where you go right around and you write with lots and lots and lots and lots of different writers, you notice that there's a lot of like kind of melodies or melody runs or a lot of chords that kind of, you know, they keep coming up. You know, some of it sounds a little similar. And I think like for someone to have to give credit when they release a song to someone else, you have done something that kind of stands out in a way. So as a songwriter, I think it was like the ultimate compliment, because it means that, you know, Love You Like That did something that was unique enough for someone else to not only be inspired, but for it to be hard to get away with it. Writing Love You Like That, we had a feeling that it was like special in some ways, or the whole like one note chorus thing, especially with the kind of falling harmonies and that stuff. We knew that, oh yeah, this is kind of fresh, you know, when Never Really Overcame It. It was a really nice compliment to us as like writers. So I don't know. I think she sounded great. I mean, I love Never Really Over. It sounds great. So, and it was cool to hear her do that kind of song, because it was right after she'd done that album that was a bit different. And so it was cool to hear her like coming back with this like super upbeat pop song, because I think that she does it so well.
Yeah, really. She's great at pop. So, I mean, I think if any artist heard that Katy Perry heard their track and was like, I want to do something similar, like it would be a disgrace to say you weren't complimented. So that's great that you are so like flattered by it. And obviously that's an incredible story to just tell and share. And it just shows how like music reaches across the world, like a bunch of different people, and inspires people in different ways.
And I think like music is, I said that before, but it's like music is like this one universal language that we have. Like you don't even need to get the lyrics. Like you can still listen to music and feel something. And it's like, you know, it's crazy to see that you make a song and you release it and people all over the world connect with it, which just shows that we're quite, you know, at the end of the day, we're all kind of the same, you know?
Yes, for sure. And, you know, when I listen back, it's so funny now, because I'm sure you know this, but you know, the drum pickup before the chorus, that's like very like tech, like drum, you know, drum pad type. When I'm listening to Love You Like That, I love that part because it kind of cuts out. And then you have that little drum fill and it goes right to the chorus. And Never Really Over has the same thing. So it's cool. It's nice to listen to it. And kind of, like you said, it gives it like a little reincarnation of the track that we've known for years now and hadn't been able to listen to.
And it's funny we should talk about Love You Like That, because actually on the Lainey tour, we played Love You Like That for the first time live on that tour, because we released Love You Like That as we were on the Lainey tour. And I remember I can't actually remember where it was, but I remember the first time we played it live. I think it was in New York. And so that was like kind of around that time.
Wow, that is really crazy. Because I saw you guys perform in Boston, because I was over there at that time. And yeah, I feel like I know you guys definitely played it there. Before we go, I do have two quick fire questions that I like to ask. For one, you know, we talked a little bit about Katy Perry. Speaking of other artists, is there anyone on your dream collaboration list that you would love to work with, you know, in any capacity? So producing, writing, like doing a duet with, who's on your list that you're like, damn, I really want to work with this person next?
Actually, Taylor Swift is on that list.
Oh my God, I'd love to see it.
I would just love to be a fly on the wall while she's like in the studio writing a song. Like I remember when she did those little snippets on YouTube where she kind of showed like little clips from when she was writing the songs on, I think it was the last album. Oh no, not the last album. The album before, what was it called?
Reputation.
Yes, that's right. she was doing these little like videos online where she showed, you know, from the studio when she was writing the songs. And I was so fascinated by those videos. I just love her lyrics and her, she's just such a solid songwriter. And I just would have loved to experience that, observing her while she's writing a song. So yeah, she's definitely on that list. Who else? I mean, like a lot of the stuff that I really like is like actually way more kind of indie. And, you know, because when you write, often you kind of sit in the studio and you jam out little melodies and people are thinking, and maybe it's the first time you write with someone, so everyone's a bit nervous. But it would be cool to go into studio with like some kind of wild indie band who was just like rocking around the room, like playing fuzzy guitar and just like writing like that. It was a bit like we wrote my first single, Backbeat. It was very kind of unpretentious, like super like low shoulders. We were just sitting in like this tiny little shed in the back garden, just like doing drums and electric guitars and singing with like a super kind of radio sound on the vocal mic. And it was just very spontaneous way of writing. And I think you can hear that in the song. So it would be cool to like write with someone who just is super kind of spontaneous and free in the studio. I don't know who that would be, but if I ever come across them, I'm gonna hold them tight.
You know, I'm thinking of someone that writes with Taylor Swift a lot, Jack Antonoff from Bleachers. Yeah. I think he would be so fun if you guys did something together.
Oh my God, he's great. That would be absolutely amazing. I'm obviously like, yeah, this is like my ultimate dream list. Like there's many people on it, but like those kind of writers, yeah. Maybe we could all three do a session together.
Oh my God, I'd love to see it. I think it would be so good. But yeah, that's a great list, honestly. And the other question I like to ask, for fans, you know, desperate for more Dagny, what can they expect next? Have you teased when they can, expect the second half of the album, or are you working on some visuals right now? What's coming up?
Well, the second half of the album is going to be out in like September and October. So I can already tell you that for a proper autumn release. And then you know what? Actually, because this year didn't really turn out the way that we thought, like it was, you know, we were going to be touring a lot and now we can't. I've been able to write a lot. So, you know, I'm not going to be able to pull a Taylor Swift, like just come out with like a super great album of like 15, 16 songs. But I feel like I'm already kind of started the second album a little bit, like in my head. So it would be great to just, you know, now I've waited, 10 years to do my first album. It would be great to just kind of dive straight into the second album and just get it out and then tour and tour and tour and tour. That's like my ultimate goal. I will come back to the US. I haven't been there for
years. Yes, yeah. You have to. I was going to say, you have to come back to the US. I think you came around, I missed the show though. I think it was like maybe 2018, 2019. I know exactly where you played nearby me, but I was away that weekend, of course. So that was a sad loss on my end.
It was in 2018, I think it was, just like 6 months after the Lainey tour.
Yeah, it was like at a club nearby me, like I think it was like Middle East in Boston.
That's right. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I remember that show very well, actually, because, oh my God, this is kind of a bad story, but I'm going to have to tell it anyway. So we were playing that show and it was like this super kind of underground, underground scene. And I remember before the show, we were going to have dinner, like someplace like just around the corner. And the only thing that they served that I was going to have was like a soup. And then right before I had my soup, I was going to go into the bathroom and just wash my hands. And someone had like thrown up in the sink and it looked just like my soup.
So
then I felt like, okay, now we're on a proper, like, you know, straight from the Lainey tour where everything was like so together and the venues were like massive and great, and this like into this super underground like tour where my soup is basically in the sink in the bathroom. So but that's what I love about it, you know, like the contrast and the doing shows for 5 people and then doing shows for tens of thousand people, you know, supporting people in arenas, like that's what keeps it so fun, you know, the contrast. So I remember that tour very well.
Yes, for sure. I remember missing it, very unfortunate, and you know, I hate that venue with all of the life in me, so I completely understand what you mean.
Yeah, but we had a really good time though. Like once the show started, it was like sometimes with those kind of crowded small rooms, it just gets really like, you feel a bit more like rock and roll, I guess.
No, I can imagine, like, you would rock in that venue, but then there are some people that you hear that they're coming around to the Middle East and it's like, I can't do it this time. But I'm glad I'm out of that city. Goodbye, Boston. Back to New York where I belong. So yeah, next time you roll around, obviously you won't be missing New York City, hopefully. So I'll be there.
Yeah. That would be really nice. I hope to see you there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much, Dagny, for chatting with me on That's the Tea with Alessandra G. I'm so excited to hear the new music and everything you have coming up. And I know everyone listening is definitely feeling the same exact way.
Thank you. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Of course.
Have a good rest of the summer.
Yeah, you too. As always here on That's the Tea with Alessandra G, we want to say a huge thank you to our guest for this week, Dagny. The first half of her debut album, Strangers Lovers, is out now. And like she said, the second half is coming this fall. So you better be prepared and start following her on Spotify or whatever streaming service you use, because you're not going to want to miss this. I can promise you that. Well, that's all from me. Stay safe out there, friends, and wash your damn hands.